This episode of Stock Doc is sponsored by Barclay Pearce Capital, a leading Australian corporate advisory and equities trading firm. Focused on your vision, Barclay Pearce specialises in making it a successful reality. The interviews and discussions in this podcast are opinions only and not financial or investment advice. Listeners should obtain independent advice based on their own circumstances before making any financial decision. Hi everyone, and welcome to this edition of Stock Doc. I'm your host, Dr. Nigel Finch. And today on the program, I'm speaking with James Tsiolis, who's Managing Director of Aussie software company Netlinx Limited. And they're listed under the ticker code NET. James, welcome and thanks very much for joining us to the program.
Thank you for having me back, Nigel.
That's great. Firstly, can you give listeners a very quick snapshot of the size and scale of Netlinx, say the headcount, the number of enterprise customers, the countries you export to, maybe the market cap today?
Sure. So the company itself has a market cap of approximately 120 million today. We have a workforce in Australia of just over 15 people. And then we have our IoT labs that are situated in various jurisdictions around the world. And in those IoT labs, we have a number of headcounts ranging from, let's say, China, where we have well over 90 people working in the lab, through to our lab in India, which has five people working in it, and then our latest foray, which is the lab in Athens, Greece, which has three people working in it. We've now got 43 enterprise customers, which we've added in the last 12 months. As I said, we're in a number of regions, which is good for the company, and we're continuing to expand.
Mm. Look, the growth in terms of number of customers has been really impressive, so we want to certainly get to that. But firstly, can you give us the very quick elevator pitch for Netlinx?
So basically, we offer a software-only solution for network network and data transmission, and we do that in a very secure way. And more importantly, we offer something that our competitors lag us, and that is throughput in terms of speed and how much data you can actually transmit through our virtual software-based data transmission lines, if you like, to put it in simple terms.
Yeah, and I've noticed that's one of the things that you actually publish is your data throughput rates as well. So I want to get to understand all of this. But can you walk us through, perhaps, first of all, your enterprise client base and what it is that you do for these clients? So what are some examples of clients and industries that you work in?
Right. So we've got our enterprise customers vary from government projects, which are sponsored, say, for example, by the World Bank, right through to Fortune 500 companies that have global businesses. And a typical example is we're involved with a water sanitation project in China, for example, based in Chengdu. Water quality is a serious issue in China, which the Chinese government, in conjunction with the World Bank, is addressing it because it's a serious issue and they take it seriously. The one of the challenges that project has is to establish sensors at the location, being rivers, stormwater drains, etc., and to then have those sensors networked and collecting data and transmitting that data securely back to a head office where then AI analytics are conducted. Mm-hmm. So that's one enterprise customer that we have. And that's a long-term project. Our technology is being embedded in it. So we are actually the network provider for that. And we're working with the sensor manufacturers or providers to actually incorporate their sensor within our technology, which we've done successfully. Another example is we have partnered with ImageDeep out of Hong Kong, and they provide camera services. Again, they were looking to secure that the cameras themselves to protect them from hacking, also to improve data transmission, which we do well because of the throughput. And we've now entered several jurisdictions with them. But the interesting thing with the camera technology is this whole COVID situation that the world's been going through, that's provided a very good source of new business for us, because enterprise, government are all using cameras now as thermal imaging, and they're also using it to manage people flow. And so that's another example of an enterprise customer. I'll do one more. We're helping a number of companies manage their data transmission, both financial and IP, from head office to manufacturing. Again, they are using the technology because of the throughput and the security.
Yeah, well, I want to get to better understand the the whole data transmission play here. But first of all, let's go back to some of the basics. Like, can you talk us through your technology stack?
So the way our technology stack works is we have what we call the VSN, which is an open source platform that then you can build a network. A network within that. The stack starts from a very basic replacement of a router, if you like, with our technology. Our routers, we call them the VSR, and that's basically the basic concept of the foundation of the stack. We then add to that stack through basically networking sensors, which you will typically do. And for us, we define a sensor as anything that's mobile. So we talk about mobility. So in addition to the VSR, we then add mobility. And that mobility then builds the network at the edge, or it builds the network at a branch. But that's how our stack works. So if you can imagine, we have a platform called the VSN, and then you start to add bits to that platform, which can range from mobility right through to a total turnkey solution of a closed network, which could be private, or you can make it an additional sort of a hybrid network, which can be public or private.
Look, this is a good Aussie success story in the in terms of this homegrown product. Has found a pretty valuable export market. Your revenue for calendar year 20 is around about $1 million a month. So I mean, you're really getting some traction with this product. Can you tell us the background of the product development?
So the product itself it was invented in Australia, one of the challenges that the product went through was that in Australia, it served for small to medium enterprise, exporting the technology, we quickly found out that we needed to make it more scalable, and that was the one thing that we've worked on in the last 18 months, where we've pivoted the product to the point where now it is an industrial grade scalable product, where we don't lose any throughput as you build the network. There is none of that. So the big change on the product and the challenge that we had, which we solved for, has been this whole scalability. Now, the scalability is even further enhanced by the ability for us to have mobility. So to be able to network mobile phones, iPads, and then your dumber devices being, sensors and things of that nature, cameras, that is what we can do now on mass scale. And that's what's attracting the customers and the revenue.
So can you tell us what geographic markets that you're currently selling into?
So obviously China is a market for us. We've now entered the Malaysian market through our partnership reselling deal with LNS. In addition to that, we also are now entering India, where we're starting to conduct a proof of concept. And likewise, we've gone into Europe via Unisystems that are based in Athens in Greece, but they have exposure to 26 countries within that region. And in addition to that, we've also gone into Japan. So we've got a pretty good global footprint. And I think our next steps are to localize the product and adapt it for the market conditions and the usage that the specific markets require.
Mm, okay. Look, you touched on VSN a moment ago. I just want to go back to this. Can you tell us a little more about VSN and also the size of the VSN market and what on earth VSN stands for?
So why don't we start backwards? So the VSN stands for Virtual Secure Network. Mm. And the VSN is an evolution of our technology. You know, and the VSN is the scalable product. And that's our product that we're going to market with. The size of market, you know, depending on who you talk to and its application. And this is where being a software-based solution, which is what the world's transitioning to, you're seeing a significant shift in that opportunity for the company. And, you know, the size of market that we believe, working with Loftus Lane and doing our research, you know, it's probably $100 billion-plus market. And as long as cyber attacks continue as they are, it makes for a very big opportunity for VSN. VSN is also what creates the bridge, we believe, between the cloud migration that companies are undergoing and then also the challenges they face through what they're doing on the IoT edge, which applies to a lot of manufacturing companies, logistics companies. So we talk about a 100 billion plus market, but that's ever expanding. Mm. And I think that the VSN is well positioned to take a percentage of that market. And, you know, we're undergoing that now. And, yeah, I think in simplistic terms, if we're 2 or 3% of a market that size, then we have a significant business in the long run.
Mm. Okay. So there's a few interesting developments that are happening in the security market and the data market that perhaps are a little bit easier to spot. One of them that I want to just touch on first of all is this idea about the sort of record increase in the number of cyber attacks. Now, some people are saying that, you know, cyber attacks were on the increase during the pandemic year, but first of all, are you seeing an increase in cyber attacks? And if so, is it attributed to the pandemic year, or is this just one of these things where we're seeing growth is just, you know, burgeoning every year, irrespective of whether in a pandemic or not?
Yeah, I tend to agree with the latter comment that it's going to keep increasing. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, people like to draw conclusions to make it an easier proposition. The pandemic year may have seen a slightly higher rate in that increase, but I think in the long run, cyber attacking will continue to increase because the opportunity set for a cyber attacker is actually increasing. Mm-hmm. So as companies are becoming more and more fragmented in their networks, the opportunity for them gets larger. So every time, you know, we increase our headcount, being a typical company with someone with a mobile phone trying to, you know, get access to the core company network, you know, your actual opportunity set is actually increasing. So the increasing rate is just reflecting the increase in the market. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason why people concluded the pandemic year was a big one was because everyone was working from home.
Yeah.
So you had more mobility access or remote access from various devices, which, you know, increased the opportunity set for cyber attacks. But that said, there's been a structural shift in the market where people are starting to work from home more and more often. You're seeing a big shift, and that's why I think that growth rate will continue. And as companies, you know, transition to a more IoT AI-based solution to their network, I think, you know, that just makes the cyber attack volumes, I think they'll keep growing at a very healthy rate.
Mm. And we're also seeing, you know, to your point about more people working from home, we're also seeing more large enterprises moving to mobile, you know, whereas previously everything was desktop bound. We're starting to see, you know, all sorts of devices in the field and in the hand being connected to these networks. So, I mean, is this adding to the sort of complexity in the VSN space?
Absolutely. And within our stack, this is why previously I emphasized mobility. Mobility is where the opportunity lies, we believe, as a company. And from that perspective, you know, this whole concept of, you know, remoteness, mobility, working from home or not being wedded to a fixed desktop, as a lot of people have been used to over the last 15, 20 years, I think that's a big opportunity, but it's a challenge at the same time for companies. Mm. And part of the challenge for a lot of the companies is that they're caught between a rock and a hard place because they've got a very good solution for security, if you like, but as soon as you introduce mobility, that's when then they have to come up with engineering solutions.
Mm.
In our case, it's not an engineering solution. It is part of what we offer the customer within our stack. So when and also because we're open source, so to speak, it's a much easier solve. You know, you can, for example, download our product or our software off the App Store and, you know, network your mobile into the VSN, so to speak, but via that structure. Mm. So from that perspective, I think that's where the market will more and more, revolutionize the way that we think about a network, and it will go further and further into software-based solutions rather than some software with some hardware or some hardware with a little bit of software or a lot of or mm. vice versa.
Mm. And I guess over the top of all of this, what we're also seeing is faster internet connections. In some of the countries that you're operating in now, they've got, you know, 5G connections already, you know, well entrenched. Is this another factor that comes into play with your system?
Absolutely. When we talk about scalability and throughput, so for example, the Chengdu Water Project we're working on, that's all 5G.
Mm-hmm.
And it's our software that makes the leverage of that 5G backbone more optimized for the customer. Mm. So they're getting more out of their 5G by using our software or integrating our software into their network to transmit data.
Mm. So it's a $100 billion market. This market seems to be, you know, growing every time we look at it. Can you tell me a little bit about the competition intensity in the sector that you operate in and how Netlinks really goes about competing?
Well, you know, being a solution-based, network solution-based product, which is software, I think the market is only just starting. And the reason why I say that is traditionally this market has been, you know, for hardware providers that offer an element of software, as I said before. I think that landscape will change in the next probably 5 to 10 years, where software will start to dominate network solutions. A lot of companies have legacy networks, which makes it difficult because they're trying to hold on to a core network. But, you know, shifting to the cloud is part of sort of releasing themselves from some of these legacy systems, if you like, or infrastructure. So I think the market and the R&D to be invested in this space will grow significantly. SD-WAN as a sector, I think, is still very small in today's terms, given the transition that the world's going to, with, you know, everything being everything in our lives generates a piece of data or transmits data. So I think you're going to see that change significantly. In my view, our mobility that we have is the key differentiator for us, plus the throughput. I think that puts us in a good position in the short to medium term to continue to win customers and contracts. So I think our edge is those two things in particular, plus the fact that, you know, you've got the ease of establishing a network with, you know, I'll call it minimal engineering input into a company or an enterprise. So I think those things are what give us the current edge or the advantage of winning new customers and contracts.
Mm. Can you talk the listeners through your typical revenue model so we can better understand the earnings profile and how much is recurring revenue versus how much is one-off revenue?
Yeah, so again, with enterprise customers, an amount of time is invested up front in establishing a new network using or underpinned by our software. So one of the things that we're seeing in our business is that we're actually earning revenue up front as part of the design. But then more importantly, that swings into a recurring revenue. Once we've established the design, then it's about implementation, which is another form of revenue. And then once it's implemented, you've got your use base, if you like, amount of users. Then you start to go into the recurring revenue aspect. Mm. You know, typically, I think today, you know, our recurring revenue is at around 20%, which is pretty good for a company in its first full year of revenue or first full calendar year. So I think that recurring revenue will improve as the business moves further into onboarding customers. And then that design element, the implementation element, you know, how can I put it? That still will always exist, but we'll keep adding customers that then the tail becomes the recurring revenue.
Mm.
And, yeah, typically I think, you know, we're looking at, you know, a recurring revenue model, which, you know, is somewhere in the vicinity of 3 to 5 years on average.
Well, James, you're one of the fastest growing ASX listed companies in this space. Can you tell us what your vision is for the company over the next few years?
I think the vision is one of establishing, you know, partnerships around the globe with companies that can take our technology and integrate it into their customer solutions. Mm. So the market for Netlinx is significant. I think its opportunity is one of a global one. I think we've now proven that the technology can be taken offshore and can be an integral part of a network solution, whether it's an enterprise, whether it's an infrastructure project, whether it's a logistics solution as part of a broader supply chain. You know, I think the opportunity for Netlinx is significant. You know, for an Australian company, I think to export a technology like this, which at the moment I think is competitive and will continue to be competitive, that's the vision, is to go global and to continue to onboard customers.
And why should investors be adding you to their watch list?
There are a few things I'll say to that. One is we're in the fastest growing aspect of the IT space. Hmm. IoT, you know, cybersecurity, networking or SD-WAN, that whole space will grow exponentially. As I said before, IoT coming into play, migration to cloud, even households using IoT. Eventually, all of that is a very good sector to have exposure to. I don't think there are too many Australian companies that are listed that have exposure to that market like Netlinx does.
Hmm. I guess you're also moving closer and closer to sort of a cash, cash flow positive situation too.
That's right. So, the company from where it sits today, it will continue to increase its revenue, but as you say, it's getting closer to that magical cash flow break even where the business starts to fund itself and it funds its own growth. And I think, again, all the hard work has been done. With all these things, you know, there's a J curve to it, but I think from a watch list perspective, we're now well and truly on our way.
Mm. And finally, can you tell us a little about what investors can expect to see in the coming months?
Look, we will continue to grow our market. We're working now actively within the markets that I outlined before: Malaysia, India, Japan, pretty much all of the ASEAN area. We've now got a toe in the water with Europe. I would expect the company to continue to increase its revenue is the first point. So the investors should look out for that. I think we will continue to expand in other regions, but probably not at the rate that we've done so much in the last 12 months. But yeah, really the top focus for us and the thing to look out for is continued revenue increase.
Well, I wish you every success on that journey.
Thank you very much, Nigel.
Well, thank you to my guest, James Tsiolas, Managing Director of NetLinks, for joining us for this edition of Stock Doc.